This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The US and Canada have agreed to a new trade deal with Mexico to replace NAFTA. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. Mexico's Undersecretary of Foreign Trade, Juan Carlos Baker, welcomed the deal in Mexico City.
Nos complace mucho.
We are very pleased to announce that it remains a trilateral agreement, an agreement in which Mexico, the United States, and Canada over this period successfully renegotiated and modernized the disciplines that were valid in the free trade agreement, NAFTA.
The deal is said to involve more U.S. access to Canada's dairy market. Dr. Emily Jones is director of the Global Economic Governance Program at Oxford University.
Dairy is a really politically sensitive topic in Canada. So Justin Trudeau and his administration are having to tread very carefully, and they're very wary of opening up the Canadian dairy sector too much. So they've given just enough, I think, for Donald Trump to be able to claim victory in this one, but not so much that it's really a radical change to the domestic dairy sector. The other thing that Canada's done very well on is that it's managed to preserve Chapter 19. And that's really important because what it does is it allows Canadian companies, indeed companies in the US or Mexico, to go to an independent arbitration panel if they feel that things aren't being done fairly within the scope of the agreement, particularly with regards to anti-dumping. Anti-dumping measures are an important mechanism that countries can use to guard against imports that are coming in at a below market price, if you like. So you can then impose tariffs to sort of mitigate against unfair trade practices.
Dr. Emily Jones, let's do the numbers. Asia stocks are up today after that long-awaited trade deal was agreed. The Nikkei closed up 0.5%. European shares are also trading higher this morning thanks to that deal and Italy's new budget. Macedonia's government has vowed to press on with efforts to change the country's name to North Macedonia, even though Sunday's referendum on the issue didn't meet the 50% turnout required. A name change would mean Greece no longer opposed Macedonia joining NATO or the European Union. The BBC's Guy Delaunay is in the capital, Skopje.
The government has been moving very quickly, saying this is just an advisory referendum. And if you look at the advice, more than 90% of those who did vote, voted to change Macedonia's name.
There does seem to be a generational divide in Macedonia with more young people voting for the name change. Is that because they perceive great economic benefits from Macedonia joining the EU?
I think that's very much the case. The immediate consequences would have been, first of all, very rapid accession to NATO, which brings security, but then EU accession talks, which would bring a great deal in terms of funding from the European Union and help with reforms in Macedonia that would improve the education system, the rule of law, things which are very important for creating conditions for investment and prosperity. And, of course, that's vital to young people because, at the moment, a lot of them, if they can, they leave.
Guy Delaunay. There's no doubt social media is changing the restaurant business. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson has been finding out how Instagram, YouTube and other apps are influencing how we eat.
Pizza is the most tagged food on Instagram with around 35 million mentions. That's more than Beyonce and Kim Kardashian combined. And this insatiable appetite for taking pictures of food is changing the restaurant industry. Everything has to be Instagram ready.
I'm Rebecca Milford and I edit a website called Bar Chick, which gives recommendations for food and drink around London and the world. I mean, it sounds very cliche that a picture speaks 1,000 words, but I mean, it really does. And I've got friends now that instead of doing what you used to do and going onto the website of a restaurant to see what they were serving, then you'd go onto their Instagram account and check out the images and choose what you want to eat, literally based on what you're seeing. So it has to be presentable and it has to sort of like have the hashtag food porn appeal, I suppose.
Getting the perfect light for a social media worthy photo is taken very seriously by Dirty Bones. It's a restaurant chain with 5 outlets in London and southern England. In 2017, they started hiring out free Instagram photography kits, and chief executive Koki Sulkin says it's done the job. We've got an Instagram kit next to us. Could you show me how I could get a really good shot of this burger? It's not the easiest thing to take a good picture of because the lighting's quite moody.
We've got this lighting rig. The next thing is to make sure that you've got enough power, also an adapter. If you've got a bit of a shaky hand, because we do our boozy brunch, we've got your tripod there that holds the phone in place. The wide-angled fisheye lens which clasps onto the phone. And then, of course, wouldn't be complete without the selfie stick, which enables you to get that impactful table shot, that overhang.
Not everyone has been swept up in a wave of social media adoration. Amanda Bachara, owner of Carthage Must Be Destroyed, a cafe in the Brooklyn area of New York, discourages overt displays of photographic enthusiasm.
People feel like they have to document everything and take photo of every angle of the interiors and like study it like we're all doing this for some project for school or something. Just chill out, eat your food, have your coffee, talk to your friends and have a good time. I hate it. I feel like it's important to like do it every now and then to say like what we're doing because it is how this generation connects or experiences new things. It's also important to me that it's sort of done in a casual way.
And although Amanda's willing to pay the price for keeping social media at arm's length, you get the feeling she's very much in the minority, which is good news for fame-hungry slices of pizza.
Elizabeth Hodson. And finally, staying on food, British restaurants will be banned from keeping tips from staff under a new law. Some restaurants had been skimming off a share of the service charges paid by diners. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.